you, Robin and John. Go back to Genesis 26 with me now. Genesis 46. Genesis 46. Read with me the first four verses again. And Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices unto the God of his father, Isaac. And God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, Here am I. And he said, The Lord said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again. And Joseph, the son, shall put his hand upon thine eyes. Now, we could easily make this, see this as a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, Jacob being him who God sent, who God was with, who God brought up again. But we're going to look at again at Joseph as being the son of being Christ, the Son of God, to whom Jacob was going. That's where he was going. It says in verse 1, Israel took his journey with all that he had. His name is Israel, but yet his name is Jacob. He's both, isn't he? He's two men in one. And only the sons of Jacob know what that means. Sons of God. He's a Jacob, and yet he's an Israel. He's an old man, and he's a new. In the flesh, he's a Jacob. He always will be. But in the spirit, he's an Israel. A prince of God. Hath power with God. Meaning influence. God hears him. All the sons of God, all the children of God are both flesh and spirit. The paradox. But they understand something of this mystery. And you can't be one without the other. You can't be an Israel if you're not a Jacob. And every Jacob, he makes an Israel. He took his journey. He's leaving home. He's going somewhere. When you take a journey, you're leaving somewhere to go somewhere, aren't you? All the sons of God are in a journey. All the sons of God are called strangers and pilgrims, sojourners. Abraham, Scripture says, Abraham dwelled in tents with Isaac and Jacob all their lives. They never had a permanent place. They dwelled in tents, and so do God's people in a temporary tabernacle. We have here no continuing city. We're looking for one which hath foundations. Unmovable, permanence, whose builder and maker is God, not man. The house that Paul built is already starting to decay. But the house that Christ built never shall. And it says in Hebrews 11, of all these sons of God, they received the promises again and again. God kept giving them the promises like Jacob. And they saw them afar off and were persuaded and embraced and confessed. And they desired a better country. Jacob is going to see the sun. Well, I hope the Lord will give you ears to hear this morning. I tell you, this is going to be the best message you've ever heard. If you let you hear it, if you let me preach it. He's going to see the sun. He's going to be with the sun. He's going to live the remainder of his days with the sun that he loves, the beloved sun, and he can't wait to get there. And the sun sent wagons to get him. They get all those sorry sons of Jacob. Now you're awake. They get all of them. And buddy, that's the reason I read all those names. They're all coming. Dinah, you're coming. Well, if she won't come? Joseph said, bring her. She's coming. Reuben, Simeon, the sorriest of the lot. Every one of them that sold their brother. Their brother is not ashamed to call them brethren. Said, bring them all. They're going to see my glory. Seven verses make up this journey. Seven verses sum up this journey. It was a long journey, Tammy. In wagons. 72 people, wasn't it? 72? 70? Two of them were in already there. 72. In wagons. A long journey from Beersheba to Egypt. But in seven verses, it's over. That's a good picture, isn't it? What is your life but a vapor? 70 years. Henry, you're way past that now, aren't you? 80. What is your life? You're 82. 80. Not 82. 82. I don't want to make you older than what you are, but that's young, isn't it, Mom? But boom, it's gone, isn't it? But Jacob, when he got in that wagon, he's 130 years old. He's an old man. And if he'd have thought, I'm going to ride in a wagon to Egypt, I can't make it. Oh, yes, you can, Jacob. Joseph sent for you. And you're going to get there. He's going to carry you all the way. You're not going to drive it. He's going to carry you. He's going to make sure you get there. His sons are going to carry you. Did you notice that where it says all the sons? That was in the previous chapter. It says all the sons came to Jacob and said, we've been sent to carry you, Dad. And don't we do that? Lift up our brethren, bear each other's burdens. If I can help it, Barbara, Robin, I'd carry you there. I want you to be there with me. Don't you? Me? Well, I'll tell you who is carrying us both on his broad shoulders. And blessed sister, we're going to be there. We're going to see the sun. And his body ain't dead. We're going to see him that was dead that he said. We're going to see him say and hear him say, I'm alive forevermore. Enter ye blessed of my father. Jacob, sons of Jacob. Oh, happy, 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 happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, for his salvation. Sons of Jacob. And buddy, when Jacob sees the sun, all that journey, it was not worthy to be compared with the glory of seeing His blessed Son. You wait till we get to that Wednesday night. They're going to fall on each other's neck and going to weep a good while. And he's going to live 17 more years. 17 more years. But they pass by quickly. You know why? He's with the Son. Didn't matter now. He's with the Son. Long journey. Well, old Jacob says he took his journey with all that he had. And you read.
All he had. Do you remember where this started, people? Do you remember how Jacob started? Do you remember about that fella running scared from his brother Esau that didn't know the Lord? And laid down one night with his head on a pillar, on a rock, and he didn't have anything but the clothes on his back. He didn't have anybody that loved him, didn't have a wife, didn't have children, didn't have anything. He didn't have a place to lay his head. And he laid down, bless God, with his head on a pillar. And God came to him that night and said to him what he's going to say to him now, I'm God.
I've chosen you. Now look at him.
70.
72. Two of them are waiting on him. He doesn't even know exists. Two grandsons he didn't know existed. Anybody in here? Lost a child? At childbirth? You're going to see him. He started with nothing. He's a nobody with nothing. He's running scared, and now look at him, a prince of God. A family that loves him, a wife that adores him, and many that love him dearly. How about you, Jacob? Do you remember the pit from which you were digged? Has God given you a wife that loves you? A family that loves you? Jacob didn't deserve Rachel. He didn't deserve Leah. Do you have a family that loves you? Do you have many brethren that love you? Jacob knew he didn't deserve to be loved by God or anyone else. What all has God done for you? What all has God given to you? What all has God shown you? I love what Jacob prayed, that short prayer, don't you? Lord, I'm not worthy of the least of all the mercies that you've given me, and most of all, least of all, I'm not worthy of the truth that you've shown me. And keep showing me, because I'm still a Jacob. I don't appreciate what you've done for me. Oh, may we not be a Jacob, though. May we be an Israel. And Israel, when he heard about Joseph, and when he thought about all that he had, and he said, oh, I'll just go see him and I'll die. He thought, Israel said, it's enough. I've got enough. And now he's not looking for anybody or anything else. The Lord's given him a precious family and a wife that loves him, and children that love him, and brethren that love him. He said, that's enough. And he's going to go see the son. What else does a man need? Well, he comes to Beersheba. He came to Beersheba. Does that sound familiar? That's well of the oath. You know who started there? Abraham. Abraham called the well of the oath. And you know what? Isaac was born there. And Isaac lived there, and Jacob was born there. And he comes back. Comes back to Beersheba, the well of the oath. Abraham, Isaac, now Jacob. Jacob left. Jacob ran away from Beersheba, but bless God, God brought him back. The well of the oath. Oh my, this well, like every well mentioned in Scripture, wellspring from on high, that's Christ, isn't it? He's the well, He's the water. But that oath, well of the oath, this is a gospel, isn't it? He left me. That was me. I was like Jacob, running. I left. He brought me back. Where my father was. To hear this oath. To hear of his oath and his covenant. And what else? The blood. He offers sacrifice. He knows he can't come to God but one way, doesn't he? Can't come to God but by the blood of the Lamb. God's taught Jacob well. He knows. I want to worship God. You've got to come by the blood. Without shedding the blood, there's no remission of sin. And buddy, that's what you'll hear in every, you know, like Isaac said to his father, Jacob, Father, here's wood, here's fire, where's the lamb? And that's false religion, isn't it? Got the wood, hay and stubble, got all this fiery religion. Where's the blood? I'm not hearing the blood. I'm not hearing Christ crucified. But here's what you'll hear. Here's what you'll hear everywhere Christ is, where His people are, where the sons of Jacob were truly met, at the well of Beersheba. You'll hear about the blood. A man's going to say it. You know, I've often thought, if in preaching you don't have any liberty, if you just don't feel like there's any liberty at all, the Lord's not with you, just at some point in the message, holler, blood! It's the blood! And you have done well. Look to Christ and sit down. The Lord will bless it. Beersheba, the well of the oath. That's Christ. His oath, His covenant, His blood support me in the whelming flood. You know, Jacob is going a long way. And he's going to see the sun. And that's what kept him going. He's going to see the sun. And he stopped on the way. He came back to this place where he started, Beersheba, where his dad and his grandfather started, where they all came, all the sons and fathers of Jacob, end up at this well of the oath, to where God will renew this covenant. We'll remember for them. Remember that? Maybe Jacob had forgotten. He had forgotten. He was afraid. He was, you know. But God remembered for him his covenant, renewed it with him and for him, and reminded him of it. And like Peter said, I'm going to always have him in remembrance of this. Even when I die, I'm going to write a letter. They're all going to read it. Beersheba. And you know, Beersheba is the church. You can't separate the head from the body. You can't separate the covenant head from the body, can you? Beersheba is a well. And Isaiah 12, I was going to read it. Isaiah 12 says, you'll draw water out of the wells of salvation. There's only one water, but many wells, places where you'll find that water, where God has placed them, put His name there. You know who dug most of the wells in the Old Testament? Isaac, the son of promise. Well, this Beersheba was like Beer Lahoyera. You remember that? We met down in the basement and we looked at the well of Lahoyera. Took me 3 days to remember that. Lahoyera. That's where
Rebecca met Isaac.
Remember that? Rebecca met Isaac. That's where Jacob came too. And one of our ladies met somebody at a well in John chapter 4. John's wife met her master at the well, like that Samaritan woman. This is where all of God's people will meet Him. This is where He'll meet with you, at the well, where the water is, where Christ is, at the mercy seat, between the cherubs, where the blood is, where Christ was preached and Him crucified. Verse 2 says, now, He offered these sacrifices unto God, and God spake. He spake unto Israel. He spake. Has God spoken to you? Christ said, my sheep hear my voice. Didn't it? It's not an audible voice, but it is His voice. And it may be a man. It probably will be a man preaching to you. Please God by what this world calls foolishness, preaching, save them but believe. But as Brother Bruce said this, didn't he? And at the mouth of two witnesses, if you hear from the Lord, it'll be through a man, Brother Chris. Because that's how God speaks. But it's Him nonetheless. Like Joseph spoke through an interpreter, didn't he? Through his sons. And they all heard. It was Joseph. But it's His man just repeating. And through God's Word, God's people, the sons of Jacob, hear Him speak. And they hear Him through the preaching of the Word and the reading of the Word and through the providence of God and the experience of God. And listen now. From the time that the Lord called Jacob, God kept speaking to Jacob. God called him in the beginning. Jacob, what's your name? Jacob. He kept saying the same things to him. He never changed what he said to him. All his life he kept speaking to him. There was one time when Jacob was somewhere where he should not be. Remember Padan Aram? Remember when he took his family there where he shouldn't have been among Laban? He should have gotten out of there a long time ago. He dwelled there, got rich. There's no mention of God. No mention of Jacob calling on God. No mention of Jacob worshiping God. And his whole family was a mess. And God was silent. And yet, you know, God often through His silence says something to us. When we feel like God is not speaking to us, where are we? God hadn't moved. He's the same yesterday. He's always the same yesterday. He's always there. He's a very ever-present help in time of trouble. If the heavens are brass, if God's not speaking to us, if we're not getting anything out of it, why? Must not be calling on God. Must be where we're not, shouldn't be, with whom we shouldn't be, doing what we shouldn't be, just like Jacob. And no communion with the Lord. But I tell you what, you call. You call again. He'll call you. But bless God. God calls first, then Jacob. Look at what he's called him. Now, Scripture says he's Isaac, didn't it? Verse 2. God spake unto Israel. He called him Israel, didn't he? God's the one that changed his name. But what does God call him when he calls him? Jacob. 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 Adam. Sinner. He's 130 years old. Surely he's lived down this name, but surely he's past being a Jacob. You know, there were some men like Joseph, real men, had the same means of grace that Jacob did. In fact, Joseph had it harder than Jacob did. And was true and faithful. Caleb. Joshua. But I'm thankful. Because most of the time I feel like a Jacob. I'm thankful. That God said, I'm the God of Jacob. Fear not, thou worm, Jacob. And you and I will never live down that name. Jacob. Sinner. Supplanter. Cheat. But God. He says, Jacob says, Jacob answers him. Verse 2. Here am I. Here am I. No matter how old we get, we're still Jacobs and reminded that by God. Reminded by our own sins. Reminded by our foolishness. Reminded. And God calls him. And when the Lord speaks, you will answer. When the Lord calls, you'll call back. Especially when you come to Him by the sacrifice. Always when you come to Him by the sacrifice. Every time you come to God by Christ, what does the Scripture say? He'll receive all that come unto Him by Christ. He'll always hear you, Christ said, if you call in my name. If you come by the blood, He'll always hear you. Jacob offered sacrifices to God and God spoke to him. Through that sacrifice. And bless God, Jacob spoke back. And what did he say? Here am I. Speak, Lord. Here am I. He's finally where he ought to be. Isn't it? He's finally where he ought to be. Where he ran away. Back where he started. The beginning of his confidence. Where his fathers were. Here am I. He's an anxious hearer now. He's a willing hearer. He's a needy hearer, like Cornelius of old. And his family said, we're all here. They all gathered and sat. And Jacob sitting there waiting, listening, and calling and sacrificing. And like Cornelius of old, we're all here to hear what you command us. Whatever you hear, am I. Lord, tell me. Speak to me. What does the Lord say? What's the first words that the Lord says to all that call on Him? All that come to Him by Christ. What are the first words that God says to all the sons of Jacob? To give them comfort. To give them peace. To give them rest. To give them courage for this long journey. To allay their fears. Huh? To give them consolation.
I am God.
I am God. You know, some people never hear that. You say it all the time, don't we? A true preacher says it all the time. Thy God reigneth. Say to my people, Thy God reigneth. Tell them that over and over again. I am God. He said that to Moses on the mountain. I am that I am. And Moses took his shoes off. He said that to Israel in the wilderness, I am the Lord thy God. He said that to Saul on the road to Damascus, I am Jesus. I am God. I reign. I rule. The God of thy father. Who's that? That's Abraham and Isaac, isn't it? Son of promise. He's the God of the Son. He's the God of Abraham. He's Jehovah. That's who God, that's who's speaking here. Jehovah. Living in the true God, the covenant God, the God of Israel. I am the God of your father. And he says this, look at verse 3. Stay with me. Fear not. He kept saying that to Jacob over and over again. Same thing. I am God. The God of thy father. His God, your God. Fear not. I am with thee. We're going to sing that in a little bit. Have you sung it too much? Oh, that's the song of the redeemed. That's Jacob's song. If Jacob was here right now, I hope he is. How do you reckon he'd sing that, How Firm a Foundation? Fear not, I am with thee, O be not dismayed. You'd hear one voice singing louder than anybody in here. And looking around thinking, aren't y'all singing louder than this? Fear not. Look at this. To go down into Egypt. Fear not. You know, our Lord said that every time He came to His disciples. What? Fear not. Fear not. They were so afraid. Jacob's on this long journey, difficult journey. He's an old man. Fear not, Jacob. Jacob was a fearful man all his life, wasn't he? He was fearful and afraid. And God is a God of fearful people. Fear not. To go down into Egypt. Every word. Fear not to go down into Egypt. You know, when you come to Mount Zion, when you came here this morning, you ascended. When you come to worship God, you come from a pit onto a mountain. You come from a plain, the well-watered plains of Sodom to Mount Zion, Mount Calvary. That's where you come. You ascend unto the city of Jerusalem. It's high above. Things that are higher, things that are nobler are spoken of here. If you're meek and lowly and want to be lifted high, come thy with us. We'll lift you up. But he says here, don't fear to go down into Egypt. And when you leave here this morning, when you leave here in Christ and Him lifted up, you're going to go back down, aren't you, into Egypt. You're going to descend back again into the slime pits. Aren't we? But here's what our God's telling us. Fear not. Why, Lord? Because here it is. Verse 3. I will there make in Egypt, where you're going, I will make of thee a great nation. Oh, how that speaks of Christ, huh? And Him crucified who came, but it also speaks of a new creature that Christ makes. And God called him Israel, didn't He? He may not see it, but he is a new man. He's a different man. He believes God. There was a time when he didn't. He loves the Lord. There was a time when he didn't. He heard His voice. There was a time he didn't. He knows what he is. He knows what this world is. He knows what his children need. He knows where he needs to be, who he needs to be with. He has a desire to see the Son. It's an all-consuming desire to see the Son. Oh, he's a new man. And it doth not yet appear what he shall be. Wait a little while and you're going to see him sitting at the right hand of the majesty in Egypt. Don't fear to go down into Egypt because I'm going to make something of you. I'll make something out of you. You can't do it. I got to. God hath made us. He hath made us the righteousness of God in Him. Because He made Christ to be sin for us. A new creature in Christ. I'm going to make you something out of you. Old Jacob was a good witness in Egypt. We'll see that later on. I'll go down. Look at verse 4. He said, I will go down with thee into Egypt. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to go down with you. I'm going to go down. And he did, didn't he? Didn't he? Didn't he come down? Our Lord Jesus Christ came down into this world. He did. And you know what? He's still here in the presence of His Holy Spirit. He said, I'll not leave you comfortless. I'll be with you to the end of the world until I bring you out of here. He said, I'll go down with thee. God was manifest in the flesh. His delights were with the sons of men. He came down knowing that the children were partakers of flesh and blood. So as much as they were, He Himself took part of the same. That through death, He came down all right. Down, become a man, a child, poorest of the poor. And He died and He was buried in the lower parts of the earth. And He did this that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death. That is the devil. Why did He do that? To deliver them. Who through fear of death, all their lifetime subject to bondage. And our Lord came down all right. But He came down for one reason. Look at verse 4. He said, I will also surely bring thee up again. Now, you're going down into Egypt. That's where you're going to dwell a while. But I'm going to bring you up. People, if Christ died for you, if God chose you, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. God chose you. If you're a son of Jacob, that's your name. He asks you your name and you say, Jacob. He wrestles with you. And you call and you know who you are. And you've laid hold of Christ. And you say by faith in your heart, from your heart, and publicly confess Him. I will not let you go unless you bless me. Bless God, He'll bless you. And He'll call you Israel. And you're one of His. And God justifies you just by simply saying, you're my salvation. And you know what? Whom He justifies, He glorifies. And if Christ died for you, if God chose you, if God called you, and you lay hold of Him by faith, and He calls your name, and you answer, and you call back, and you crucified with Christ, and died with Christ, I guarantee you, on the basis of God's Word, what He said, that you're coming out of there with Him. You're coming out. Now, surely, we're going to see soon how that Judah went before Him to make sure he got there. Who went before the wagons? Judah! The surety. To make sure. That's what he does. Make sure that Jacob's sons get there. I will surely bring thee up. And sinner, Jacob, he will surely raise thee up. All that come by Christ, that come by sacrifice, all that are carried by Him from the grave. He'll carry them to the grave, from the womb to the grave. And again, look at it. It says in verse 4, I'll bring thee up again. Again. And again. The Lord kept telling Jacob the same thing again. Why? Because he kept forgetting that God won't let him forget. Again and again. And why did He keep calling Jacob and carrying him? Because Jacob was prone to wander. So the Lord sent somebody to get him. Carry him again. Why did the Lord pick him up? Because he's all the time falling. And a righteous man falls 7 times, the Lord will raise him up again and again. You get down out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. David cried in Psalm 130, out of the depths, you there again? Are you there again, O child of Israel, son of Jacob? Yes, I am. Through my foolishness, through my sin, feel like I've overcome in the world. Here I am in Padanaram. Help!
And God delivered him out of all his trouble again.
That'd be a good title of this message, wouldn't it?
Again.
Like, nevertheless. Again and again and again. Do I have to pick you up again? Yes, Lord. Okay. But if you didn't hear anything, hear this, all right? He said,
Joseph shall put his hand on your eyes.
Now, what's that mean? Joseph, the son, the one you want to see, the one you thought was dead is alive, the one you long to be with, the unseen son, he's alive. And you're going to see him. And he's going to put his hand on your eyes. Stay with me. There was a blind man one time. Couldn't see a thing. He couldn't see the world. He couldn't see himself. Filthy. Stinking. Couldn't see anybody. Anything. He heard about this teacher, but he couldn't see him. Couldn't see his beauty. No, saw no beauty in him. No desire. No comeliness. No form or come. He couldn't see anybody. Anything. He's blind. And one day, somebody came along. And out of his mouth, anointed flesh, earthen vessel, dust, and took it and put his hand on his eyes. And he could see. He could see clearly. Started out, I see men walking as trees, dead wood. They're all the same. What?
Sinners.
And he anointed him clear, more clear, and he said, now what do you see? Now what do you see?
He saw Christ.
If you desire to see the Son, everyone that seeth the Son, he's going to raise him up. Right? And the first thing he does, here's what he's going to do, is he's going to put his hand on your eyes. He's going to give you sight. Like that blind man the Lord touched. You're going to see the Lord. You're going to see the Lord. When Jacob sees Joseph,
he doesn't have eyes for anybody else from then on. You know that? He doesn't have eyes for anybody else. He came to see the Son, and he's going to see. And Bonnie, he can't take his eyes off of him.
And Jacob said, Dad, you're going to dwell right here with me. You don't have to ever quit looking at me, or me you. He saw the Lord high and lifted up. He saw Egypt for what it was. There was no beauty in Egypt. Oh, he loved the Son. Oh, you know the Lord's got to cover your eyes to give you sight? You know that? The Lord's got to make you blind before you see. That's what he did to that blind man. Put stuff on his eyes. You can't make a man see by sticking mud in his eyes. The Lord did. He saw clearly after that, John. When the Lord blinds us to see the world, to the world's beauty, he'll show us the beauty of Christ. And the Lord shows us that this place is an ugly place. This is Sodom. I want out of here. I don't want to dwell here. Jacob's dying words later on says, don't leave me here. Get my bones and take them back home. And Joseph said, that's exactly what we're going to do. You're not leaving your bones here. Taking them to the promised land. Your whole body and soul going to be there forever.
When the Lord lays His hands on our eyes, He gives faith. See, we don't walk by sight.
As I said, He's got to shut our eyes to open them. You know, we don't walk by sight. I'm getting so nearsighted. I don't want to have to wear them all the time. But anyway, the Lord's got to shut our eyes to everything so that we'll follow Him implicitly. Because we look around, don't look. Look unto me.
Isn't that what Bruce brought out that illustration of hoeing a row? He said, if you put an object out in front of you, want to hoe a straight line, just keep your eye on that object. And
And don't look back. Don't look to the right or left, or you'll get off. You say, keep an eye on that object. And once you get there, you look back. It's just straight as an arrow. Look unto me and be ye saved. Don't look around. Don't look to the world. Don't look at yourself. Don't say, oh, whatever you do, don't look at yourself. You'll stumble and you'll fall. Look unto me. But how do we look? We don't look by sight. We look by faith. We can't see Him, can we? We can hear Him. We can't see the Spirit. Christ said, I'm going to send you a Comforter whom the world doesn't know and can't see, but He's with you. Just follow Him. But I can't see Him. Well, listen. Just listen. His voice is clear. It's right there. And don't listen to anybody else. And don't look at anything else. Now, Joseph, our Lord, has got to put His hands on our eyes. And bless God, and this is to give sight, it's to give faith, and to give rest. To give rest. Our Lord says this to us, just follow me. Trust me. When you look around, you don't understand. You just don't understand what's going on. You don't understand yourself. You don't understand God's will. You don't understand. You do understand God's will, don't you? That it's His will to gather together in one all things in Christ. That's His will. But you don't understand His immediate will and purpose in all things. We don't need to understand it. He does. You see, if somebody's leading you, you don't need to see where you're going, do you? Jacob wasn't driving that wagon. He wasn't even the co-pilot, was he? He's not the co-pilot, and neither are we. We don't need to see where we're going. We just need to see the head of Him who's... Right. I remember as a child riding in the back seat of our car. I didn't know where we were going. They told us, we always went to the Gulf of Mexico, Pensacola, Florida. That's where we always went on vacation. Always. And all us kids, four of us, piled up in those old Buicks, 57 Buick, you know, laying up in the car seat. Are you kidding? Laying up in the back window, remember? I was a fourth. I had to lay on the hump. Car had those humps, you know. I had to lay across that hump, but I remember so well. It's just vivid in my mind, sitting in that back seat, not knowing where we're going. One time, I heard we were going to the Gulf, and about 20 miles out of town. I just learned to read, Polly, and about 20 miles out of town, we stopped at a Gulf station. I said, "We're here," didn't I? "We're here." "No, sonny, it's going to take us 2 days to get there." "Oh, no." And how many times? How many times did we say, "Are we there yet?" Huh? How about your kids? "Are we there yet?" Just trust me. You know what was my comfort? Looking at the back of His head. Do you hear me? We always got there. My head, who I was looking to. Christ said, "Look unto me, Jacob." "I'll get you there." But what? "I am God. Who are you?" He never did say, "I'm Israel. I'm Jacob." Good. Because I'm the God of Jacob. And every Jacob gets to the Gulf. Gets to the glory. And Joseph's going to put His hand on your eyes. Here's the point. Here it is. He's going to give you rest. If you're looking to Him whom you can't see, He'll give you rest at night. He'll give you temporal rest. And bless God, people, He's going to give you eternal rest. When it comes to the day of your death, old Jacob the day he died. And we're going to get to that, Lord willing. I hope we don't get to it. I hope the Lord comes first. But the day he died, old Joseph put his hand on his eye. My dear old dad. Like a child, the Lord, every one of us, will come to our death, to our deathbed. Every son of Jacob and everyone that can claim to be a Jacob is going to come to your deathbed like a little child laying in a bed, troubled, sick, restless, worrying, fearful, in the dark. And the father or mother comes in. Have you ever done this? I remember distinctly with Hannah and now with my granddaughters, both of them. Them lying there and caressing their face. You remember that? And putting my hand on, you know, they were just couldn't get to sleep, so worried and so troubled. And you finally, you just close their little eyes and rub them and sing them a lullaby and go to sleep. And they fall asleep. He giveth his beloved sleep. When you come, if you're resting in Christ, you're going to come to your death and you're going to rest in peace. You mark the perfect man or woman. Every son of Jacob, we read it, didn't we? All of them were there. They're coming with him. And Joseph's going to put his hand. He's going to kiss y'all. Kiss all of you. All y'all. And lay his hand on your eyes. And you're going to rest in peace forever. Was that worth hearing? Okay. Stand with me and I'll dismiss us in prayer. Our Lord, we can't thank you enough for your gospel because it speaks of Him, the unspeakable gift. Christ, our beloved, blessed elder brother like Joseph, whom we despised and rejected, sold and denied, thought nothing of, saw no beauty in, yet but God. God of Jacob, covenant God, God who chooses, who must choose, set His love on unlovely people. Called them by His marvelous grace. Through His Son and sent His Son down into this cesspool, down into this awful place called Egypt, Sodom, to become sin for us. He who knew no sin, that we, sons of Jacob, though we be, might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Bring us up, came down, bring us out to lift us up out of Egypt to the promised land where we're going to see the Son. He's going to lay His hand on us. We're going to see Him with our eyes, not another, but like Job said, with my eyes. Because I know, we know, our Redeemer liveth. Thank you, Lord, for your word, without which we wouldn't have heard this message. We wouldn't believe. Oh, make someone else see the Son, their need of Him, is our prayer. In Christ's name. Amen. You're dismissed.